Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. The aim of this class is to gain the art of spiritual life through the teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius Brancheninov. This study has already transformed many lives, and we hope your life will be transformed too.
So much for a late night.
Well, I was saying that I don't expect a lot of people today because after break and it's outside, relatively nice. Mm-hmm. Surprise. Always facts always show me that I am wrong. All right, so welcome back. We will continue in our, not study. I prefer to call it like formation class. And we are on page 209, last paragraph down. So the chapter is on purity. Does somebody missing a book? Or you have? Available? Okay, good. Right. Let's read.
Okay. Once we have rejected the external sources of carnal sin, including frequent confession and friendship with women, a scattered way of life, overeating and excessive enjoyment of food and drink, lavishness and decadence in clothing and other physical belongings, judging others, slander, laughing at others, and idle and excessive talk, let us also reject the sweetness of sensual thoughts, feelings, and fantasy. Let us not inflame such thoughts in ourselves, and let us courageously reject them when they appear in us, thanks to our fallen nature, or if they are cunningly offered to us by the enemies of our salvation, the demons. St. Hesychius of Jerusalem says the following: Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. The will of his Father is the following: O ye that love the Lord, hate the thing which is evil. Thus, let us exercise the Jesus prayer, and let us hate evil thoughts. In this way, we will do the will of God. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, Apostle Paul tells us.
Thank you. I would like to ask you about your impression when you read or listen this text. What kind of feeling you have?
Guilt.
Guilt.
I was gonna say
Sarah, don't ruin my question. Yeah. You know. No. I don't actually want this answer because I want to mention a reaction of one person I gave this book to. I offered like, this is good for you to read. And after like 2 months, 3 months, we talk again and. That person, he told me that, you know, this is really old book, old teaching, you know, like old fashioned. Well, it is not for this time. And didn't you have this feeling that when you read these words, that it is really something outside of this world when they are saying this? And I'm saying this because I was thinking about this passage. Experience of one priest came to my mind. He was he got assignment to work with youth, and so he was doing a lot of retreats or meetings for young people, like high school and up. And once he decided to talk about he's finding the right word, the guy forgot, sorry.
Hey. Chastity.
Virtue. So what he did, So he prepared like video clips from old movies, you know, and old movies, not only old by age, but on topics like historical movies and everything. And there were like examples of behavior of men and women in this, how they were dressed, how they acted, how they talked. And he like played this video with a lot of these clips to these high school students. And the reaction was that they were laughing. It's, you know, like many manners were like, ha ha ha, it's really old, or how they dressed, it was funny for them. And he told them that, look, if we see those things which are good, that they are funny, so we need detoxication of our mind and heart. And the same thing with this text of these saints. The many times we try to refuse that text because it seems to us that it's from world which is over a long time ago. But true is that maybe they are right and we have our view of world changed. That we were poisoned by spirit of this world. And we adjusted too much to this world that we see these real examples of virtue, whatever it is. We see that there's something what is funny, what is not belonging to our lives anymore. And we are talking about chastity now, but well, it's connection with everything. You know, like with all these, all virtues, if we take it seriously, we can be seen as weird people, for others. Because it doesn't fit to this world. And what he is saying is like to pay attention that we should refuse all these external sources of bodily sin, you know, if he warns us about that. So, well, he is just offering us wisdom of many saints who found out that, well, this is dangerous for soul. Now, I think that I would like to use this paragraph only to encourage you to change view of things. That if we are dealing with teaching of saints, we should say, well, they were right. They are already in heaven. They made it. So we should follow them more than some kind of voices from this world. You know, and we have to learn this, to keep in mind and really to keep in mind that there are a lot of things which caused change of settings of our heart and mind and soul, which caused that we are not sensitive to things, thoughts, impulses, which attacks purity of our heart and mind. But until we don't do it with intention, this change, we don't try to change our heart this way, to force ourselves that to really discern well and not to just go with the world, it is work, but it is worthy because if we don't do this, we'll be not able to recognize, even if we study and read those things in practical life, it will be very difficult to apply those to our behavior, our activity, our thought. Do you have some comments? Yes?
I was just going to say at the end, I like how he says, exercise the Jesus prayer. He didn't say it once, say it three times. He He says exercise, use it, apply it. He gives you something to fight back with. I like that. Because that's easy to forget.
Yeah, and if you are saying that, I think that I use it for homily someday recently. I was listening to a lecture or this book study with David Abernathy, Father David Abernathy, and there was one man who was talking that about Jesus' prayer, and he said that, well, Father, you gave me chotki, a prayer rope, so I put it on mirror in car, you know, and always when I look at, so if I feel some kind of guilt or shame, so I say, oh Lord Jesus Christ, so God have mercy on me. And Father David, he said, oh, he just said, well, I am sleeping with mine. You know, and this is the difference, you know, that what you said, practice it, so he exercises that.
Exercise is a workout.
Yeah.
There's nothing easy about it.
It's not. May we continue? Last paragraph, okay.
The Holy Fathers command us to bruise the head of the serpent, that is, to watch out for the very beginning of a sinful thought and to reject it. This refers to all sinful thoughts, but especially to carnal thoughts, because these are encouraged by our fallen nature, and for this reason, they have more influence over us. St. John Cassian tells beginner monks to confess a sinful thought to his elder as soon as it appears. This method is superlative, especially for the beginner, but also for the experienced monk, because it definitely breaks the inner friendship with sin to which the corrupted nature tends. Blessed is the one who can use this method in actual fact. Blessed is the beginning monk who has found an elder to whom he can open his inner thoughts. To those monks who do not have the opportunity to constantly run to an elder, the fathers recommend immediately cutting off a sinful thought, never beginning to converse with it or fight with it, because that way leads to inevitable falls into sin, and instead to strive to pray intensely. This was the method used with great success and fruitfulness by the Venerable Mary of Egypt, which is evident in her life.
Okay, we are entering to very tough topic, very difficult. And Bianchino leads us to make discernment, to judge our thoughts. One thing is we have to realize that if we try to keep our thoughts under control, this is possible only when we avoid these sources of external impulses which are coming to our heart. We cannot even think about start this battle with our thoughts until we don't remove these external sources, because we will not be successful. And actually this is like something what is a little bit pride, you know, if we are not able to clean, to keep under control what comes to us, how can we then keep in control our thoughts? So he gives us this step by step. At first, we have to take under control external sources, and then we can start to fight with thoughts. Why he's saying that? One thing is that we were talking about this before, but we can think only about those things which come through our senses. This gives food for our thoughts. So it means that if I, these external impulses which are coming to our hearts are unclean, sinful, not good, so it means that thoughts will be the same. You cannot avoid if you let something sinful, this impulse come in, it will become subject of your thinking process immediately or later or after 10 years, but it will come to your mind. So how can you guard your thoughts if you let this stream of sinful thoughts or bad impulses coming to your heart? So you have to, at first we have to start our battle on spiritual life on this, to create good environment around ourselves. And it's not only we can say, well, I will pay attention to what I watch, what I read, and we can do this. But it is connected even with people. And it might be strange now, but and you can say, many say, well, it goes against love to neighbor. Well, we should avoid even people from whom these impulses are coming. Really, really avoid. And it is not something what is anti-Christian. You have a lot of stories from life of holy fathers in Egyptian desert. They say this, there is a monk who has lost discipline, avoid him. Go around him. Don't talk to him.
Or kill him with prayer.
What?
Or kill him with prayer.
Or kill him with prayer. But, well, but if monks realize that, well, other monk who has some kind of weakness, it can be source for him, it can be dangerous. You know, so we have to be really, really very careful and to think who we let to come to our life. Because many times we say, well, and now what, I am supposed to leave my friends? Well, what kind of friends are if they are pulling you down? So they are not your friends. Those are enemies of your soul at the time. So it means it's really radical, but we have to realize we have only one soul and one chance, and we should really pay attention to our salvation. This is the most important thing for us. Samuel?
It reminds me of something you brought up in the past about just Christian simplicity in general. I think that's the thing that for me could have been the biggest hurdle, was just not wanting to embrace that. But as you've said before, once you finally are able to get rid of it, you don't miss it. Just like the fathers say, love of silence. Just the Christian simplicity of freedom is, as I put it. Now, freedom is not having what you want when you want it. Freedom is not needing in the Christian sense. And so seems to be that might tie into the topic of purity too, in that you have a focus for your desire now, which is God, so that and that purifies.
Yeah. I remember when I was like small boy, we used to go to visit grandparents, and they were on retirement. But still, my grandfather, he was working like second job. He was like a guard at the agriculture company. So he always went like on night shifts. And we always went to visit him. It was like adventure to go there, you know, a little bit far from village in dark, you know, to see him. But yeah, it was, that place was so, the smell there was horrible, you know, from all these animals and everything. It's, so I was, it stinks here. And he said, what? He was not able to smell it. And it was always like, how can you smell that it stinks here? No. What I mean is that when we are in some place, you know, it might say, well, I'm fine with this company of people, for example. I'm totally fine. But once you start to grow a little bit and to make steps toward purity of heart and mind, suddenly you start to think naturally, to feel naturally that, well, it stinks in this company. You will not feel well. You know, and naturally you will leave this company, but the first step is always to make this effort, you know, to make this step.
I thought it was a good thing when he said, immediately cutting off a sinful thought, never beginning to converse with it or fight it, or fight with
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Because the more I try to fight with it, the more energy I'm giving it. It's like saying, oh, I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to think about that. What am I doing? I'm thinking about it, you know?
I have so to remember what I am against.
Yeah, right, yeah, exactly. And instead, we have to replace that thought with prayer. We have to replace that thought with something positive, because we can't fight it head on. It doesn't work for us. We can't do it ourselves. So that's what we replace it with prayer, with healthiness.
I would, thank you. Yes, exactly. And but I would like to return back a little bit what he said about these revealing thoughts, like his monk said. And this was really practice that usually evening monks came to elder and they revealed thoughts, what they were thinking about, you know, totally. And it was like totally, again, something was horrible. I said, well, I hated what you did. I judge you, they were saying to this elder, I judge you because, well, for many reasons, I don't know. So it was really open, without shame, they revealed everything. This is something what kills, helps with fight with thoughts. And we don't have this opportunity to do this. So he said that let's those who don't have this opportunity, they should really remove this thought and to start to pray. But there is one thing you can do, and write it down. You know, when you, and now you have, we all have these devices, these phones, you know, and so you can make a note. You can say, well, you have the thought. For example, I would say, bad thought about your boss, for example, that you thought badly about him, put it down and forget. You know, don't play with that. Just mark, this is my thought. And all those things can be some kind of material for your confession. Well, you don't need to read all these notes, you can just make this package, you know. I hated my boss. I wish him bad. Or I said this, you make this package of this thought and you confess this. But what helps, this activity helps something, because you, when you do it with this intention to report this thought, you know, that you said, well, I had this thought and I'm going to confess it. It is some kind of like, I would say, you are turning the same weapon against your enemy. So it helps. But it is just for those who, this is another advice. He is not giving this advice, but it is possibility for people. But what he says is this simpler method, that when you have this thought, don't fight with it, start to pray. And then we have to realize, and this is what is difficult for people sometimes to discern, when thought comes without some kind of reason, we don't provocate this, it just comes, and we just say, O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and we continue. This is no sin, this is nothing, this is just thought which come and went and it's forgotten. This is not sin. Sin is when we allow this thought to land in our heart and to build a house there. So it means we spend time thinking about this thought, and or we start to have some kind of fantasies and something. When we start to do this, something happens and we have to be ready for that. We are making then our mind and our heart more white, I would say. And the same thing, that you have white wall, you can see even like little black dot there. So it means that we will start to be more sensitive to even like smaller things which we didn't pay attention to before. So somehow ability to recognize bad thoughts will be growing in us.
St. John Climacus, he says, in one of his steps, that he visited the monastery and he saw many monks having like a little notebooks around their belts, and every time they would have a thought, they would write them down. So they didn't go to their spiritual father, but they would write it down. But also in our prayer books, the examination of conscience, this is basically the same thing. We are examining what we did throughout the whole day, and that's basically half of the preparation for confession.
Yeah.
So,
is, you know,
is that writing down thoughts, should that be something that we do immediately when it happens, or like with the daily examination of conscience, could we do that at that time, like maybe make,
well, there's not like really specific steps to this, you know, but well, probably if you can write down immediately, okay. If not, do it evening. You know, I think that evening is sufficient, because these monks, many times that was tradition that they were like revealing thoughts to elder evening.
Okay.
But you don't want to like go back and really think about what you thought. You know, when you don't want to catch that thought. Only what you remember, because the other thoughts are probably already
gone.
Forgotten, yeah.
Okay.
Because that's when, if you try to remember and try to focus on remembering what your thought was, that's where you get you. You know.
It's true.
So that's kind of like, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just going to say, it kind of reminded me of, I think it was last time we had the book study, when you were talking about the vineyard analogy, the man walking through the vineyard, sort of like, well, it's already a sin him being there, because he knows he desires the grapes.
Yeah.
So even if he doesn't take any. So I just thought.
Correct.
So what you're saying, Deacon, is it's more of a spiritual exercise, and then you're encompassing it. Well, you're acting on it with prayer to guard yourself from not dwelling in the wrong crowds or being around wrong environments, because if you do, those environments will end up being self-inflicted wounds, which is the sin.
Well,
I'm wrong, but at the same time, when you do the examination of conscience at the end of the day, and you go to confession within a week, and then in 5 days you find the same exact thoughts, then you can talk to your spiritual father, where is the root of that
triggers,
particular
yeah.
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very good aid and exercise that we should be within and continuous.
Yeah.
Is that
mm-hmm.
correct?
But, well, one thing is that, look, what we are talking about is revealing of thoughts. And look, he's talking as a second step. The second step goes after you remove sources of external, these sources of impulses, bad impulses. Because it is like, you know, you let water to run, it's, we are swimming here, and you have like little like bucket and you try to get it out, and this stomach is running there. So you have to at first to exactly, then you can start to remove all things. And then when he talks about, we have to avoid one thing. I have this note here that when he says that immediately we should start to pray. Now we have to avoid to see this prayer as some kind of magical magic, that well, I start to pray, now it is gone. This prayer should be expression which of state of our heart, which says that I am weak, I need help. And in this prayer I am begging for help from above, from Christ. So in this prayer I humble myself, and I realize in this battle I need help from above. Because it doesn't make if we start many can start to pray just to say words, it doesn't work, you know. And many people then say, well, I pray nothing, you know, it doesn't go away. This proper state of heart should be there in this, even this short prayer, that to pray with humility and with this realization, okay, now I need help, I am too weak to fight alone. That makes sense? Okay, may we continue?
Can I just
yes,
say one
you
thing?
Can.
you know, how do you feel about when, depending on what that thought may be, like if when that thought comes to your mind, if you just invoke the name of the saint that had that affliction or whatever and ask them to help you?
Yeah, it's fine. But, well, it's fine, but again, it has to be the state of humility in the heart, and this that I need help from above.
Right.
It's not that if I just say this without somehow realizing this need for help, so I can say this just as a words. I can say it as a okay, like a magical formula, and to expect result. So it always like this prayer is always some expression what is inside. If I don't have this correct settings, and we were reading about preparation for prayer, or we are studying that several months ago, if it is no prayer, then it is just some kind of my activity which has no fruit, no power. So this, you can use that, but with this proper setting of heart, I would say. And probably just the simplest answer explanation.
Okay.
All right, let's continue.
If anyone immediately cries out with tears for help to the goodness of God when attacked by a thought from the enemy, said St. Nihilus of Sora, he will soon feel peace in his heart if he prays wisely. Just as it is natural for fire to destroy straw, it is natural for pure tears to destroy all defilement of flesh and spirit, said St. John of the Ladder. When we find ourselves alone and under attack by carnal thoughts, and we feel our body become aroused by the thoughts, it is good to fall on our knees and face before the holy icons, following the examples of St. Moses the Black and St. Mary of Egypt, and with tears to beg God for mercy. Experience will never fail to show God's nearness to us and his power over our fallen nature. This will give us living faith, and living faith will inspire us with tremendous strength through which we will constantly be victorious. We should not wonder, however, if after a long battle and its ensuing long period of spiritual calm, during which we naturally think that the poison of impure thoughts has finally left our hearts, once again a terrible battle descends on us and the same impure desires and movements once again appear in our bodies.
So we touched this topic a little bit, that you have to have this proper state of heart when you are praying. And you said that, and it's amazing that tears really how really bring like really fast help, you know, very quickly if you are praying fast, wisely, and with tears. So these tears, to have tears means to have like this proper state of heart, and together with wise prayer, it helped to overcome these temptations. So we touched that. And again, what he says that, well, even like using these two examples, Mary of Egypt and Moses the Black, we have to be prepared that it will be, this battle is not for day two, three, four. It might be for years. Like Moses the Black, there's this famous story from his life. He was like a horrible person, but he went through criminal, and he went through conversions. He became monk, but he was struggling with his passions because he had a lot of passions, all kinds. But he was fighting with thoughts, with memories from previous life and everything. And one day he ran out from his cell, and he went to his spiritual father, Isidore, and he said, I cannot do it anymore. I cannot. It's over my power. I cannot. So Isidore, his spiritual father, took him on the roof of his cell, this flat roof in Egypt. And he told him that, look to west. And he looked to west, and suddenly he saw a lot of demons, like preparing their weapons, and they were preparing to attack. And so, it was horrible view. And Moses started to trembling a little bit, and tremble a little bit. But then Isidore told him, now look to east. And he looked to east, and he saw multitude of angels, far more powerful than these demons, ready to fight these demons. And so Isidore said, well, don't worry. Those who fight with us are more than those who fight against us. And this is very powerful. So Moses, he calmed down, he went to his cell and continued another years to uproot all these passions he had, and in the end he became very holy and priest, and he left a lot of disciples, and he's a very powerful figure that you can stories from his life as examples you can find all over his ascetic literature. And so we have to be prepared that this fight is not like, okay, in May I will be done with these thoughts, this passion, and in June with this passion, you know, and we cannot plan this, because final victory is given not through our battle, it's given by God to make us free from passions. It's gift from God, from those who fight very hard in God's chosen time. Samuel?
In our prayer books, a lot of times it says to pray with compunction. Does that kind of have to do with the tears and the falling down for the icons. Like,
yes.
There's a lot at stake.
Yes.
Or we've even lost ground already and we're asking for help.
Yes.
That's what compunction means.
Yeah. All right. Let's continue as a paragraph. Hopefully we make several paragraphs today.
Our enemy has no shame. He will never stop aiming his arrows against the greatest of God's saints because experience has shown him that sometimes his doggedness pays dividends, and even the vessels of the Spirit are sometimes brought to great sins, as was David when he took an evening walk on his roof and saw Bathsheba bathing. Our flesh is a false friend because it craves another body, not only by its own inclination, but also because of the attacks of the fallen spirits who feel pleasure in the defilement of bodies not their own. Often unexpected is the awakening of the impure, insistent, unrelenting desire. For this reason, St. Pieman the Great said, "The bodyguard of the king is always next to him, prepared." Exactly in the same way must the soul be constantly on guard against the demon of fornication.
Yeah. So we have to be aware that in this area of chastity we have to be prepared always against attack from evil one. And as we he gave like this wonderful example from the Old Testament that only one thought, one view that David saw that lady, and we know how it ended with murder. And what was in the beginning, it was just he looked at. So it is like even the small impulses, they have potential to really grow to big size and cause really. And there is another thing that Isaac Assyrian, he says, very interesting thing, that we have to be aware that all these ascetics, those who fight for purity of heart, for holiness, that we have to be prepared, guard, not only, like, if somebody has this problem that these thoughts of against purity comes more often, and he wants to heal this passion, so many times the person is really concentrated and he keeps guard. And after a while, we can reach the state that while we are able to protect ourselves. And we can be masters in this, that we can recognize impure thought immediately and to start to pray and to really guard this. And then he says, well, even those who were like almost perfect in this, monks, holy monks, they experienced suddenly that they were defeated by this passion in a horrible way. And he explains this way that, well, if demon sees that the gate is to this passion is guarded very well, so then he tests the person through vain glory. You know, so he doesn't attack, okay, I cannot get you here because you pay attention to this gate. But there is a vainglory, he tests this monk or whoever fights, he offers this temptation to be puffed, you know, some kind of vainglory. And if person doesn't pay attention, he let this thought go in, almost immediately follows fall in this impure thoughts or activity. You know, there is a sin coming. So spiritual life is complex things that we in spiritual life we cannot like some many times it is that maybe some sins are I say, well, this is serious and this against purity, so he says bigger value you have to fight. No, all passions has the same value. You know, it's not that, well, now I will be concentrated on this only area. I have to guard all gates to my heart. Because if I guard one very well, he can use doors to enter demon through doors which are not guarded. Does that make sense? And it is good even for us that he continues, if I remember well, Isaac Sirin says that even what can destroy you is that conversation with somebody, that you just talk to somebody, you have this easygoing like discussion and with friends, everything, and in this discussion something comes which raise your vainglory. So you can be, this is the way for demon to attack you then later on this impurity. You know, it's very interesting. And it's very good for us if we are aware of the spiritual laws. And if you read Philokalia, for example, Mark Ascetic from Philokalia, he gives like these little sentences, really from, it is really from practical life, and he reveals this spiritual laws, that if you do this, this will happen. If you do this, you can expect this. If you do this, this will happen in your life. So it is like, and many holy fathers, they do this short sentences, this wisdom, you know, in a short sentence, that if we remember those things, we should somehow memorize these good advices to be aware and to be wise in our life. So spiritual life is a very complex situation, work, and it requires our whole attention. You cannot do it like on Sunday before liturgy or after liturgy, it has to be total. You have to be there totally. And again, like saints, they say, of these teachers, holy fathers, they teach us that our work is our salvation. What we see as a work here is just something what is necessary for providing for this life. But it is something what we must do. It's annoying to do. Our biggest job is to reach salvation. And all the things which are connected with spiritual life, this is real work. This is our real job. This is something what we have to pay attention to. It's central attention. So it again, they force us to change somehow, because usually what we have, my job, I have to do this because I need to provide for my family, I need, this is the most important thing, and then if I have time, I will do something for my soul. They force us to rethink that, and it's not correct. Correct is that you are, your main job is to take care of your soul, to salvation of your family, your children, wife. Life sometimes is difficult to save, but sorry. but this is, and then I do what I need to provide, and it will give this good balance. We should not be afraid of to do this, because when we start to try to see that in this light, then this signal for God that, okay, your providence should work in my life. And he takes care well of his servants. Well, he doesn't provide you with yacht or a special Porsche or something, but well, we will have always enough to survive. Okay, I think that we can finish here. Because what is...
Oh, no, we have time for the baseball game. But it's not, it's 20 minutes now.
Okay, so let's have this a small paragraph.
Okay. In many ways, we can only marvel at the lives and deeds of the ancient monks, and not in any way can we emulate their greatness. We can only contemplate them as a miracle of God and praise God working through them, who gave sinful man such unattainable power and holiness. Some of these deeds, which are now impossible, included specific methods of battling against carnal thoughts and fantasy. They would not immediately fight against the carnal thought, allowing it slight entry into their mind, and then they would attack it.
Yeah. Again, it's good to read saints, life of saints, especially those from Desert Fathers, because their stories are cleansed of some kind of ballast. You have this like direct wisdom there, and they are very simple, and even if they are like very radical, and we think that we are not able to follow their example in this world, they bring inspiration and an encouragement. We will be reading, continue in some kind of examples he gave us, he's giving us, Brianchan, you know, but I would like to encourage you that what to do is, and now when these checks came, the support, what is from
stimulus.
Government stimulus checks. So one father, he asked me, well, we got a lot of, you know, that. So he said, well, I don't know what to do. Should I, it's more than we need. Should I put it to church, something, donation, stuff. As a pastor, I should say that, yeah, sure, you must, you know. But I said, well, my advice always when I had, if parents, especially young parents, ask me this kind of question, I said, well, you should invest to your home church, to your family, because this is your church, this domestic church. And I said, well, the best thing you can do is to build good library. Now, to build good library, good books, and there are thousands of books, knowledge books. Don't waste time with, even they might be good, but buy only those whose authors is saint. This is one advice. And buy those who has value. So, for example, Avergetinos is very good. Collection also, Synaxarium, it means life of saints. These good stories from Desert Fathers, it's amazing. To build this, because you don't know, you can read to children then, or to encourage, to talk about, but I tell you, when my vocation was somehow, I was, a lot of inspiration came from these books, because we didn't have a huge library, because there are not also prints, but we got from West through different channels some books. I remember it was very pleasure for me to go there to take a book somewhere over my edge, I think, because they were theological, but I read them, and I didn't understand, but I read them. But those books had really huge influence on me. They form children. So this is something what it's worth it to do home, build good library with real saints, with real teaching of the church, not ballast.
We
because
hope you
many times
podcast.
People are tired
Please share
when
it
they
with
read
those who
ballast.
Might like to be enriched by this teaching
by essential good books.
If you live in our area,
really
we would
wisdom.
Love if you could join us for our
and,
study in person on Monday nights at 7 p.m.
I think that
at
and
Nicholas,
his advice it fits
Barbara,
with
Ohio.
His advice he gave
thank
us in this last paragraph we read. So thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please share it with those who might like to be enriched by this teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius. If you live in our area, we would love if you could join us for our study in person on Monday nights at 7 p.m. at St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Church in Barberton, Ohio. Thank you and God bless.